So my job now is to introduce the next couple of speakers. I just wanted, did Oscar show up? Oscar, you're here. You got off. Okay, so you're not the first. You get to, I assume you just came from Logan Airport. At any rate, our first speaker is Nerj Deva, who's a member of parliament in Europe. He is unique in many ways, but one aspect of Nerj's uniqueness is that he was born on one continent. He was born in Asia, and he's a member of parliament in another continent. And in the UK, where he was a member of parliament, they then sent you to, or you get voted, I don't know how that actually happens, but is now a member of parliament for the EU. And it's particularly important that Nerj is here because in his parliamentary capacity, he leads the European Union's commitment to the developing world, to the funds, and sort of really holds the keys to the funds that the EU, which is the largest economic power in the world, okay, bigger than the United States by a significant amount. So when you think of the EU as a single organization, you think of the EU's commitment to the developing world, and you think of the person who controls that commitment, it's our next speaker. Nerj. Thank you.
Your Excellencies, distinguished and honorable ladies and gentlemen, today we meet as a family. A family created by the passion, drive, and dream of Nicholas Negroponte and his team to give one laptop per child to children in need. A family is not something you choose. Instead, it is a given. We are a family obsessed, driven by a passion. Our very obsession unites us into what we are. We are driven by a purpose. A purpose that transcends our own self-interests, our pet hobbies, and our own vanities. Our purpose is simple. Our purpose is to give. Every single child in the developing world and the developed world the power to escape poverty, the power to escape ignorance, the power to escape years of neglect, deprivation, and non-fulfillment. By doing so, we give them a life chance, an opportunity, a window to realize their life potential and join the whole of the global community, whatever their own circumstances. Our purpose is to make them leap from a medieval to a 21st century existence. We are not delivering a computer. We are delivering a time machine. A time machine that is so enormously transformational that everything after that is changed. Changed forever. Imagine this. A hut in an African village. An old man and an old woman cooking their dinner by firewood. At a small table, a young boy, about 11 years of age, is tapping into a computer, looking at the keyboard in the half light of a flickering kerosene lamp. He has escaped his hut. His mind is elsewhere, connected to the global internet community. He's doing his homework together with seven other kids in similar huts 1 kilometer away. The huts are connected to the children. The children are the nodes, and the village community is brought together by their laptops. The children are learning, interacting, sharing, emailing, and surfing. They're developing marketable technology skills, which can lead to jobs and opportunities for the youth of today and the workforce of tomorrow. The challenge now is to bring the old man and the old woman into that community of information, knowledge, and empowerment that the children in that village will possess. The laptop unites the child with the world, then binds the village into a community, and later connects that community into our global village. This is a process. Delivering the laptop is merely a first step, a small pebble that starts an avalanche of change. A change so vast, so complete, so comprehensive, that every person in that remote village will change and become a part of our global space, the same space as that we now occupy in this room. It impacts on everybody and everything, not only the child. That is why I have called in the European Parliament for our program to be designated by the United Nations as a Millennium Development Goal, MDG 9. Whatever one's motivations for combating extreme poverty, human rights, religious values, security, fiscal prudence, or ideology, the solutions are the same. The Millennium Declaration was adopted in September 2000 by 189 nations and signed by 147 heads of state during the UN Millennium Summit. A political framework was established. For the first time in human history, a compact was made between the poor countries who pledged to improve policies, governance, and accountability to their own citizens, while wealthy countries pledged to provide the resources. The aim was to cut world poverty by half by 2015, saving tens of millions of lives and empowering a billion people into joining the global economy. All that was needed was action and, of course, money. A paltry $60 billion per year more from a global economy of $32 trillion per year. Action, given that we now spend $1 trillion on arms and $600 billion on agricultural subsidies. Well, that was 8 years ago. It is now 2008. And you may quite rightly ask, are we on track after the halfway point? The simple answer is no. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon recently said, the MDGs are still achievable if we act now. This will require inclusive, sound governance, increased public investment, economic growth, enhanced productive capacity, and the creation of decent work. So what is the progress so far on the 8 MDG goals? The goal 1 was to eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. Yes, global poverty rates are falling in Asia, but millions more people have sunk deeper into poverty in sub-Saharan Africa. Low agricultural output has led to millions of more people being chronically hungry in sub-Saharan Africa and Southern Asia, where half the children under the age of 5 are malnourished. There are some quick win solutions we have devised. Some of the quick wins are the provision of massive replenishment of soil nutrients and high-yielding seeds for small farmers on nutrient-depleted lands through free or subsidized distribution of fertilizers and agroforestry, no later than 2008. Goal 2 was to achieve universal primary education. There are some 600 million school children enrolled in schools in 155 developing countries. Of these, 66 countries have achieved or are on track to achieve universal primary education by 2015. The other 89 in sub-Saharan Africa, South Asia, and Oceania, however, are unlikely to reach this goal over the next decade. And sadly, over 105 million children worldwide have not enrolled in school at all. Quick wins can be achieved by ending school fees and fees for uniforms for primary schools. The expansion of school meal programs to cover all children in hunger hotspots using locally produced foods, to provide annual deworming and hand cleansing gels to kill bacteria that produce diarrhea and so improve health and educational outcomes. Goal 3 was to promote gender equality and empower women. The gender gap is closing, albeit slowly, in primary schools enrollment in the world. The goal 4 was to reduce child mortality. Death rates in children under the age of 5 are dropping, but not fast enough. 11 million children a year, yes, 11 million children a year, 30,000 children a day die from preventable causes. Most of these lives could be saved. Goal 5 was to improve maternal health. More than 500,000 women die each year during pregnancy or childbirth. Some progress has been made in reducing maternal deaths. Goal 6 was to combat HIV/AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. AIDS is a leading cause of premature deaths in sub-Saharan Africa. Prevention efforts must be intensified. Malaria and tuberculosis together kill nearly as many people each year as AIDS. 90% of malaria deaths occur in sub-Saharan Africa, where prevention and treatment efforts are being scaled up. There are quick wins. The quick wins are to provide mass distribution of bed nets and effective anti-malarial medicine for all children by the end of 2008. Goal 7 was to ensure environmental sustainability. Insufficient progress has been made to reverse the loss of the world's forest and environmental resources. Access to safe drinking water has increased, but half the developing world still lacks toilets and basic sanitation, and nearly 1 billion people now live in urban slums. Goal 8 was to develop a global partnership for development, and that is where we come in. We have to accelerate the rate of development. Now, what is needed in these 8 MDG goals enunciated 8 years ago at the World Summit? What is needed in these programs which OLPC can uniquely provide? Why OLPC? Why MDG 9? The answer is self-evident. The MDGs are failing because it's still them and us. There is no common ownership. We give and they take. There is no interaction, no partnership, no dialogue, no common stakeholdership between the individual beneficiary and the global donors. Not at an individual level, not at a village or community level, neither at a regional level, nor even possibly at a national level. OLPC creates a new dimension, a whole new world of interactive ownership. It creates a lifelong partnership of shared information and access to knowledge between the child, who will be a teenager or adult by 2015, between his village or her village and the global community. Why should such an interactive knowledge partnership accelerate and promote the Millennium Development Goals? OLPC, by connecting the internet to the child and the child to the village community, introduces a technological component into development. While creating a better future for children, it is also doing something for the parent of today. The children can and will become the purveyors of information to their parents and to the wider village community. Points of community contact information will be networked together via the laptops for education, health, business, and social empowerment. Local clinics will be connected between far-flung villages. Correct information on AIDS prevention will be distributed. Preventive treatment for malaria without extensive outreach workers will mushroom. Farmers will know the value of what they are growing by accessing world prices and prevent being cheated. They will learn to manage agriculture using more sustainable techniques. Deforestation will slow down. Water conservation will improve. The stored books that Nicholas talked about in the computer will not only increase children's knowledge, but expand adult knowledge and ability to interact with the world. Each of the earlier MDGs, from MDG 1 to MDG 8, will be enhanced and accelerated by our newly created MDG 9. But creating a new Millennium Development Goal 9 is not enough. The new program has to be speedily and effectively delivered to meet our 2015 target of providing at least, and I'm taking a deep leap into the dark here, 100 million laptops without having to approach bilaterally 155 different countries and their ever-attending bureaucracies. Can this be done? The answer to this is also staring us in the face. The AIDS crisis led to the creation in 2003 of a huge global fund of $8 billion. So far, 3.7 billion has been spent in 132 countries. The Global Fund has provided 1.1 million people with antiretroviral treatment for HIV, 2.8 million people with treatment for TB, 30 million insecticide-treated bed nets have been delivered to protect against malaria, and many millions more people have received counseling, care, support, and training, saving 1.8 million lives. We now have created, under the UN aegis, another global fund of $3 billion, Global Water Fund, to provide clean water, clean drinking water, and basic sanitation to millions of people. Under the Gavi Immunization Alliance, we have created a unique multidimensional partnership of public and private sector resources with a single focus, which is to improve child health in the poorest countries by extending immunization coverage. I now propose here that we work to set up a multilateral global fund for digital education, GFDE, a part of the UN Millennium Development Goals Program as an MDG 9 with OLPC in partnership with UNDP and UNESCO. A public-private sector partnership to raise large enough funds to deliver 100 million OLPC laptops in the next 7 years, using the United Nations multilateral institutions for their delivery, thereby bypassing bilateral government constraints. This would require raising some $2.6 billion per year from governments and corporate social responsibility programs from the private sector. Friends, each generation is called upon to do something unique, something special that marks and reflects our passage. We are indeed the electronic generation, the first to go digital, the first to go global, and the first to harness the power of information. As a third eye, as an extension of ourselves, we are in cyberspace, so we exist. Until now, this has been in the hands of the privileged, the rich, and the educated. We now have the chance to empower the poor, the deprived, in our global electronic village. It is an opportunity we will grasp and never let go until the job is done. It is worth doing, starting now. Thank you.